You guys can start turning to Exodus chapter 2 this morning. A lot of you guys may realize it, and guys, if you don't, today is Mother's Day, so hint, hint. So I've been reflecting on some of the mothers in the Bible, and there are a few of them that I started thinking about. A lot of you may instantly go to thinking about Mary, Jesus' mom, the one that gave birth to Jesus. Some may think of Salome, who is the wife of Zebedee, James and John's mom. But I started thinking about a woman named Jochebed in the Old Testament. And you see, Jochebed and her husband Amram, they had a child. Specifically, they had a son that we know as Moses. And many of us remember from Sunday school the story of baby Moses being put in a basket and floated out on the river. And there's something simple, but a huge act of faith that Jochebed had, and it's truly amazing when you start contemplating it. First, I'm going to read out of Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Out of the Passion Translation, it says, faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him for 3 months because they realized their child was exceptional and they refused to be afraid of the king's edict. See, living under the rule of the Egyptians, it was difficult to live in that time. Because there was a 50-50 chance that you would have to give up and lose your baby. If Jochebed had delivered a girl, she'd be able to keep her daughter. But if it was a boy, he would have to be thrown into the Nile River. She would carry this child for 9 months, not knowing if she would be able to keep him or not. So they hid Moses to start with. They had to keep him quiet. I don't know about you guys, but babies generally are not quiet. They kind of cry whenever they want, fuss whenever they want. But they had to try to keep Moses from exposing himself. For 3 months, though, they endured the difficulty of keeping the baby silent. After 3 months, it says they could no longer hide him. They knew that people would start realizing that they had a baby boy. They knew that they had to do something. Doing nothing, he would eventually be found. It would be certain death if they waited for an Egyptian to realize and kill them, him themselves. Here we're going to start in Exodus 2 and verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw an ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to the Pharaoh, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Jochebed did something that only a mother could do. Jochebed took time to make the basket and prepare it as a lifeboat for her son. Her son that she loved so much, she couldn't stand knowing that if she kept him and tried to hide him a little bit longer, that would result in likely death. Like many of your moms out there, she wanted to fight for her child. She wanted to make sure that she did something for him. She took this basket and she coated it with pitch. She coated it with a tar-like substance to waterproof it, to make it float better, to give him a chance of surviving in it. She gets to the point where she takes and puts a blanket in there, puts her son in it, and wraps him up. And then she did one of the things that I can't imagine how difficult it was for her to do. She pushed that little boat off the shore. Now, moms, think back to the day that you sent your kids out for the first time. I'll say, I remember how hard it was for Ashley with sending Addison off to preschool for the first time. Say it's something that's so hard because they had that bond with you for so long in the womb, and then to send them off. But at the end of the day, you know you want what's best for your child. Jochebed sent Moses off, and you know she had to be struggling with it. She didn't know what the outcome would be, but she knew there was a chance. Keeping him would have just added a little bit of time. She just had to trust God and have faith that he would do what he wanted to do. She put Moses in the water and then left. She probably went back home. She probably didn't want to be around anybody else. She probably wanted to go and mourn. But Moses' sister stood at a distance to wait and see what would happen. She wanted to keep tabs on her brother and know what was going on. Miriam was much older than Moses. Scholars believe that she may have been a tween or a teenager at this point. And Miriam takes watch to see where her brother is, probably having great hope for him. About that time, Pharaoh's daughter starts her descent. The daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the one who was so afraid of the Israelites because they started outnumbering the Egyptians, that he started putting large burdens and labor on them. He recognized that they were so blessed by God that they were creating many more and reproducing at such a great rate that they wanted to try to protect themselves. After putting extra labor on them, didn't help keep the numbers down, it only made them grow quicker. He decided to have all the midwives, those who helped deliver the Hebrew boys, kill the Hebrew boys. If there were a daughter, they could live. If there were a boy, they wanted the midwives to kill him. But the midwives respected and feared God too much to let that happen. So they kept the baby boys alive. So then Pharaoh put out a new edict to say to have all the boys thrown into the water, not just for the midwives to do it, but for anybody to throw those boys out. So this is the same Pharaoh's daughter here coming directly for where Moses is. Imagine Miriam. She was probably looking and saying, "This is not looking good. This is not looking good. We wanted him to have a hope and a chance, but instead, The very Pharaoh that wants to eliminate all these boys, his daughter is the one heading right down here right now. Even though Pharaoh's daughter worshiped all the gods of Egypt, God still planned on using her in a mighty way here. God uses all kinds of people. Just because somebody doesn't know God yet doesn't mean that God won't use them. Sometimes God will even use that to get their attention. So often in the Bible, we see where God actually uses people that he doesn't even say what their name was. It's exactly the case with Pharaoh's daughter here. He doesn't even mention what her name is anywhere in the book of Exodus. But she still did something mighty in preparation for the gospel. She had compassion on this beautiful baby boy and pulled him from what should have been a death sentence for Moses. Now, we don't know Pharaoh's daughter's whole backstory for why she had compassion on the baby. But we did know that she went to the Nile to bathe. Now, according to Egyptian culture, one of the beliefs of the Nile River was that the waters would be cleansing waters, that they would heal you. And there are still some cultures today that believe those Nile River waters will heal you. One of those specific beliefs is for fertility. So my guess is, since she didn't have a baby yet, and she had so much compassion on this baby, she may very well have been battling infertility herself. So she went to the Nile River to bathe. If she was suffering from infertility, that was probably the very thing that was on her mind, was how much she wanted a baby. How much she wanted a baby boy. That she wanted to have a baby somehow, some way. She wanted to have a baby so much that when that baby was found in the reeds and she opened up that package, unwrapped that blanket and saw Moses, and he gave out that cry the first time she heard him, she probably immediately felt that bond, wanting this baby boy. One of the things with baby boys was it was very much a social status. It was how you planned your inheritance. It was how you planned your long being. Without boys, you didn't have anybody to carry on the family. Without boys, you didn't have anyone to care for you as you got older. Pharaoh's daughter, if she was suffering from barrenness or infertility, not having kids was almost a shameful act back in those days. So not only did she desire a baby, but she wanted a boy nonetheless. So when she found this basket with a baby boy, you had to know how excited she was. My Bible says that Moses was a beautiful child. So when Pharaoh's daughter opened this, you know how wonderful of a gift it was for him to be a beautiful child as well. Now we've seen these three different women here, all with a distinct, separate role. And you know that none of it could have been planned out the way it happened. Nobody would have thought that as Jochebed was wrapping up Moses, that Pharaoh's daughter herself would be the one to find Moses. God's timing is absolutely perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. See, God planned for Jochebed to have released Moses at that exact moment that he released him, or that she released him. And then God planned for Miriam to not return home with her mom, and for Pharaoh's daughter to be going through whatever she was going through and to be arriving at the river at that exact time. God has a plan that goes way beyond us. Time and time again, where there seems to be no way for something to happen, God makes a way. God comes in those suddenlies. God had a call for Moses' life that he knew Jochebed would have that motherly instinct to love her child so much, that she would do whatever it took to further his life, that she wouldn't settle for the status quo, that what they were telling her to do to be what she would do. Those of you who have been here for the last month or so, you've heard me say that we need to be taking risks and getting out of our comfort zone to stop playing it safe. Jochebed didn't play it safe. She took a risk. She could have just tried to continue to hide Moses and have just a little bit longer to go with him. But she knew she had to do something desperate if he had a chance at life. Likewise, Pharaoh's daughter would take a risk here. Her daddy, the one that was not a fan of the Hebrew children, she would be risking her own life going against what he decreed. But we know, as Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jochebed's faith is what's being recognized here. Her faith that God would be able to do something. I love Hebrews 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. And so many examples of by faith. By faith, they hid Moses. By faith, they sent him out in the basket. God turns it all around here for good. When Miriam, remember, she's been watching this whole time. She watched Pharaoh's daughter walk down to the river. She watched the maidens walk along the riverbanks, looking around. She saw when Pharaoh's daughter saw it and sent her maiden to go get it. She saw when she opened it and the joy that was on her face. Miriam saw all of this unfolding, and she risked her life as well, running up to the Pharaoh's daughter, running up to the one who was oppressing the Jews' daughter. She offers something in just the split second she had to say something. She offers the first thing that popped to her head. She offers to go get a wet nurse to feed the child. So they sent for Jochebed. They sent for Jochebed, Moses' own mother, to come back to feed him, to produce the food that Moses would need to survive. Now you can imagine the excitement that Miriam probably had as she ran back to get her mom. It was probably sounded like a bunch of gibberish when she was trying to explain to her what had happened, and the excitement and the quickness of things needing to happen. You can probably hear her going, "You sent my brother out." "Yeah, but Pharaoh's daughter." "Wait, what? Pharaoh's daughter? Well, she likes him, and she's keeping him." And they're looking for somebody to feed him. I can imagine that Jochebed probably couldn't believe her ears when she was first hearing it. See, Jochebed, although she had sent Moses off thinking she was saying goodbye to him. She was now being reunited with him already. Here's how good God is too. Not only did Jochebed and Moses get reunited, but Jochebed would get to keep Moses until he would be weaned. The culture at that time was not quite like the culture today. See, we usually wean babies around a year or so, but in Egypt, the way they did with the weather there, it was usually not until the children would be about 2 or 3 years old. So God added a couple more years for them to be together. And God didn't stop there either. As Ron Papil would say, but wait, there's more. Thank you for laughing because somebody got my joke. Pharaoh's daughter would end up paying Jochebed to nurse her own son. That's just like God. You know the struggle, though, that Jochebed probably had, knowing that she was going to have to give her son up a second time. But at least this time she knew that she would be sending her son off, not to possible death, but she was sending her son to be receiving the finest of the land. She was truly getting the best for her child. See, Moses would receive an education that none of the Hebrews could have imagined. He would be getting training that would not lead Egypt, but the Israelites. Sometimes what we know we need to do is not the most comfortable thing to do at the time. But just like Jochebed, we did what we could. I'm going to start saying this more often. When we do what we can with what we have, God will do what we can't. When we do what we can with what we have, God will do what we can't. See, Jochebed used what she had. She had the bulrushes to make the basket, and she had some tar pitch to coat it with. She did what she could, putting it all together and sending Moses off. And that's when God did the rest. And out of that act of faith, God started preparing Moses for something that would take him 80 years before he would fulfill. See, Moses stayed in Pharaoh's house for nearly 40 years, getting the best training, getting the best plans, getting the training that was reserved for the elite. Stephen even acknowledges this when those who were about to stone him, as he referenced him in Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses was trained not for leading Egypt, but eventually for leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Jochebed couldn't have known at that young of an age how God was going to use Moses. But as a mother, she knew she wanted the best for her child. I know this is Mother's Day, but we all can draw a little inspiration from Jochebed here. We can have a desire for the generations after us to succeed, to not give up on wanting the best for them. I know it's hard, but we have to let our little babies go and learn for their next task. Yes, we need to equip them, but we need to equip them so they can move on to the next chapter of their lives. God's mercy is for all generations. His goodness is for all generations. His wisdom is for all generations. We have a loving Father who wants the best for us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed so much that he sent his son to die for our sins. He sent his son so that we could live victoriously today. God is making a way where there is no way. I'll say I wasn't even thinking about it when God told me to play Waymaker this morning, but it's so appropriate that we sang Waymaker, because he does make a way where there is no way. His plans go so much further than our own plans. God honors the faithful. I keep coming back to Hebrews 11. By faith, God turned things around. We just need to remain faithful in doing what he has called us to do. I hear God telling us to trust him. Things may seem out of place. We may get prompted to do something unexpected. But God loves you just as much as he loves Jochebed. He loves all his children equally. Where he moved for her, he will move for us still today. We have faith to trust God for his promises today. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you told us of the story of Jochebed. Lord, that although we may glance over it so quickly about the story of baby Moses, God, we recognize the fullness, the richness of your word, God. Lord, give us the faith that Jochebed had. Lord, give us the faith that we need for today's culture, God. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, give us wisdom to make decisions that we need to make. Lord, help us recognize your voice in it all. Help us recognize what you are saying through this all, Lord. Lord, have your way. Lord, help us embrace our uncomfortable zone. Lord, help us recognize your moving even when we don't recognize it. Lord, move on us. Lord, stir us up. Lord, stir us up for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've given us for living today. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.